Good morning and welcome. It's good to see everybody here, and it's good to know that you're down there. I'm thankful for everybody here. Well, I can't see them, but I know they're there. This is a really great day, as Rob mentioned. We add two elders today, and that makes this congregation stronger. And in addition, that is a time in which we show that we put emphasis on the pattern of the church that God has given us. And that is truly a great day. So what's going to happen is I'm going to have a few things to say about the role of elders. And then the elders are going to come forth and they will make their commitment to God and to you. And then I will have a few comments about our role, and we're going to have an opportunity to make a commitment to God and to our elders. I would like it if you took out your Bibles and we start off where we just read in John chapter 13. And we start in verse 1, and everything about this is to emphasize the significance of this moment. Now, before the feast of the Passover, Jesus, knowing that his hour had come, that he would depart out of this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. Jesus, knowing that the end had come, Jesus realizing that this was the moment he was going to leave, and out of great love for them, sets this amazing example, well known by so many. He gets down on his knees and he washes their feet. And as you go on, if you continue on from verse 5 and you go down, Jesus is going to explain, I am your Lord and I'm setting an example. And he's teaching us a lesson. And the lesson is that we do not appoint dictators. We appoint servants. And if you look at Matthew chapter 20, Jesus had already taught that same concept. Matthew chapter 20, starting in verse 25. Jesus called them, that's the apostles, to himself and said, you know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great men exercise authority over them. It is not this way among you, but whoever wishes to become great among you shall be your servant, and whoever wishes to be first among you shall be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many. We do not appoint dictators, but servants. Now let's look over at 1 Peter chapter 5, in verses 1 through 3. This is where Peter, as an elder, addresses the other elders. And he explains to them their roles and the responsibility they have. And there are several things I want us to get from this. Therefore, I exhort the elders among you as your fellow elder and witness of the sufferings of Christ and a partaker also of the glory that is to be revealed. Shepherd the flock of God among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but voluntarily, according to the will of God, and not for sordid gain, but with eagerness, nor yet as lording it over those allotted to your charge, but proving to be examples to the flock. I don't know if you noticed it. It's kind of hard to see sometimes in the translations. But there are three basic Greek words that are used and sometimes have been broken up into different offices within churches. But all three terms were just used for the same people. It's the same position, different descriptions of it. It started off with that word elder. Sometimes it's translated as presbyter. And it reveals something about this role. These are to be men of age. And the implication then is men of wisdom and respectability. He then says that they are supposed to exercise oversight, which we call an overseer. Some translations will say a bishop. And this implies that it is a man who is in charge and ensures that the work is done and that it is done well, that it is done in accordance to God's will. And then it also mentions that they are to shepherd the flock of God. And some translations will call that a pastor, which is a term the denominational world everybody else is so familiar with. And it's used of the elders. And it means that they are to be a shepherd, which is they are to protect and to feed. They are to prevent false teaching, to ensure that the members here are provided with the full nourishment of God's Word. And this is to be done in classes and preaching from the pulpit or in any other form. That's the role that they take on. In addition, in 1 Peter chapter 5, we saw a whole bunch of other instructions that Peter was giving to the elders. He told them they're supposed to do this voluntarily. We are not forcing Rob and Rod to come up here. This is their choice, and it has to be their choice. We see that they're not supposed to seek personal advancement. They're supposed to refuse all bribes. He says that it's not for sordid gain. Refusing all bribes, not for personal advancement. We see in addition that it's supposed to be done with great eagerness. The work that they do is a tremendous work, and they're supposed to be excited about doing it. In addition, he says in verse 3, not yet as lording it over those allotted to your charge, but proving to be examples to the flock. They are supposed to be our examples. Not forcing us to do all things, but showing us how to do all things. If you would, turn to Acts chapter 20. This is where Paul now has opportunity to speak to some elders. Acts chapter 20 and verse 28. It says, be on guard for yourselves and for all the flock, among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. If you were to go and look carefully, you would find that within verses 17 through 28, again, all three terms are used for the same position. And here to these men, he gives this instruction. First of all, be on guard for yourselves. Keep yourself safe from false teaching and make certain that you continue to grow. He adds to that, be on guard for all the flock. Watch over all of them. And then he goes on and he makes mention that they are to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. And I offer this reminder to remember that this is the Lord's church and not theirs. Finally, in this regard, I want us to look at Hebrews 13 and verse 17. It is written, obey your leaders and submit to them, for they keep watch over your soul as those who will give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with grief, for this would be unprofitable for you. And here it talks about our leaders and their great role that they have. I have called it a great work, and it is. Their work, everything they're supposed to do, every decision they're supposed to be making, is for the purpose of helping you get to heaven. That's what they are here to do. And so, as I've said, we are better and we are stronger with more elders. Jim, Rob?
Ask Rob to not join us in the speech.
So, wait, I have something, according to our pattern. As a congregation, we have gone through this process. We believe, after these weeks of examination and in accordance to the qualifications that God has handed down to us, that it is appropriate for these men to be appointed as elders. Accordingly, Rob Phipps and Rod Abinett, you are solemnly charged in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus and the witness of his people at this congregation that you will take this office of elder and, to the best of your ability, fulfill the duties that come with that role.
Rob, Jim and I have five questions we would like to ask you. And after this, I'll ask each one of you to respond. God's help, I will. Will you continue to serve Jesus Christ as your Lord? Will you teach and model the gospel of Christ guarding this church against false teaching. Will you guide us patiently and prayerfully? Will you mentor and shepherd our deacons who also serve this congregation? And will you work in harmony with your fellow shepherds, with the goal of heaven being our eternal home?
With God's help, I will.
Our examination of these men leading to today's activity leads to our belief that God has called these men to be shepherds among us. You have heard their commitment to serve and lead us according to God's word. There is also a commitment we all have for all four of these elders. So I want us to consider a few passages in that regard. Let's start off in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 12 through 13. Paul writes to the church at Thessalonica, "But we request of you, brethren, that you appreciate those who diligently labor among you and have charge over you in the Lord and give you instruction, and that you esteem them very highly in love because of their work. Live in peace with one another." In this passage, Paul urges the congregation in its responsibility towards the elders. He says that we are supposed to appreciate them. You might even translate that as know them. It's not supposed to be where they always come to you. You go to them. We are supposed to esteem them very highly. We are supposed to esteem them very highly in love. And we've been commanded to live in peace with one another. And that is true as a congregation. That is true as a congregation with our elders. It is a responsibility that we have and we take on. Go back to Hebrews 13, verse 17. While we saw something in regards to the work of the elders, that passage wasn't to the leaders. It was to us. It says, "Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they keep watch over your souls as those who will give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with grief, for this would be unprofitable for you." Our job is to obey them, to submit to them, and to the very best of our abilities to make their job easier, recognizing that what they are doing is trying to save us, trying to help us. And we should do everything we can to help them in that process. The last thing I want to point out scripturally is Acts chapter 20. We saw the instructions that were given to the elders in Acts chapter 20 and verse 28. But Paul goes on and he mentions something about what was going to happen with the eldership. "It is my sincere prayer and desire that this not happen here, but it's a warning we must always keep in mind." Paul continues in verse 29, "I know that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. And from among your own selves, men will arise, speaking perverse things to draw away the disciples after them." While elders are men of great respect and tremendous examples, they still are not perfect. And in 1 Peter chapter 5, we looked at the instructions in verses 1 through 3. That is to the elders. But then in verse 4, after reminding them of their work and their responsibility, in verse 4 he says, "And when the chief shepherd appears, you'll receive the unfading crown of glory." While our responsibility is to obey and submit to these men, we must keep in mind that our ultimate affection and devotion is to God. And we must never lose sight of that goal. Leading up to this point, we have been encouraged to examine these men and to share any doubts or concerns we might have. But now we transition into a role of acceptance and submission. Sometimes that can be a difficult transition, but it is up to each one of us to make it. Let us work together. Let us grow together as one family, striving to please God and shine in His lights in the world. Let us be diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. This is our duty. Jim.
I have three questions for the congregation. At the conclusion of those questions, I would ask that you say, as
these elders to be appointed have said, with God's help, I will. The questions are, will you pray for the four who stand before you as we have pledged to serve as elders here? Will you be respectful of our leadership and support us in our work for the Lord and for you? Will you walk with us as we do our best to one day be in the presence of God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ for all eternity? If you will, please say, with God's help, I will.
With God's help, I will. You may be seated. Well, we have some things to put on doors, put in the bulletin. We no longer have two elders, we have four, and we are stronger for it. And let us be dedicated to working with them and making their life easier as they strive to make us stronger. I don't know if you noticed, but everything was about salvation. It's not about power. It's not about position. It's about protection and salvation. The role that they had in Hebrews 13, verse 17, they're working for our souls to save us. The example that Jesus gave us in Matthew chapter 20, he said that he came to serve and not to be served, to give his life as a ransom for many. That's what we're all about. We're about following God to salvation and encouraging others and begging others to join us in that process. And so we always offer an invitation. If you're not a Christian, you're not saved. And we're here to try to change that. We're here to implore you to join us, to follow the Lord and the Savior, and to be saved by Him, having your sins washed away. So if you're not a Christian and you're ready to be saved, we ask if you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And if you do, we ask you to repent of your sins, to confess that faith, and to be baptized into Him for the forgiveness of your sins. And if you're a Christian and you have fallen away, these men, this whole congregation, the Lord in heaven invites you back. We beg you to return. We want all to be saved. Won't you answer the invitation as we stand and as we sing? Thank you.